the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. We're sitting in here today with the entomology crew, and Jason's texting up a fire some recommendations over there right now.
Extension at work right here.
Extension at work. I would say, well, it is prior to 8 o'clock, so technically none of us are started yet. Right?
Yeah, right.
Isn't it like...
Angus has been up since 2:15.
But isn't the official work hours for Mississippi State 8 to 5?
I don't know if that's official or not. It depends.
What does it depend on, Angus?
Well, it depends on when your phone starts ringing.
Before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you got on your mind today? I know we're sitting over here right now. We got 5 inches of rain at Stoneville last week.
Is that what it was? I never heard the final number.
Yeah, it's a little over 5 inches.
Well,
30 miles up the road, we kicked up dust yesterday.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Boyle got nothing.
Well, I planted some food plots this weekend, which was very early for me. I was a little nervous about doing it. Never planted them this early. And I looked at the forecast. It was like 10 days, no rain. And that evening, caught 0.2 with a 0% chance of rain.
Well, it's probably good you planted them because now you got enough heat units to make it work.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of heat units now. Let the fall army worms come.
Why are you worried about worms? You got plenty of stuff to kill them.
That's one of the reasons nobody ever wants to plant them late, because of fall army worms. But I got something for them.
I got 2.3 inches at my house and didn't feel the cracks in.
Well, you could be worse than me. You could have planted your food plots and got arsenal sprayed over the top of them.
Yeah, you win that one.
That's a downer.
Good. Not good.
Downer is not.
Well, you could plant pine trees in it. They like to nip the buds of fresh pine seedlings.
I mean, come on, guys. Dang. What are we doing out here?
Well, they're actually producing a crop.
I'm trying to produce a crop too.
Your little recreational stuff's getting in the way.
Well, you can say, though, most people, something always happens to their food plots, but rarely does theirs get sprayed with a helicopter with arsenal, so that you win that one.
I win again. But back to where we're going today. I know you wanted to talk about soybeans. I know you wanted to talk about those smelly critters, and then you had a couple other things on your mind too, right?
Yeah, I really just kind of wanted to give an update on where we're at on red-banded stink bugs. I mean, things have really been picking up the last couple weeks, and just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, where they at now, where they've kind of moved to over the last 10 days, what people are seeing, and really just kind of bat around some of the hard decisions about termination and some of the things you need to consider, because a lot of these beans are getting close or getting desiccants or about to get desiccants, and you know, some hard decisions out there on how far to carry them.
Now, you said how far they moved, and I'm going to ask you a question I know you can't answer, but you got to give me the best try. How far can a red banded stink bug fly in a day?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't have any tracking collars on any of them?
No, I don't. But we know this. They roll north. In 2017, they made it all the way to the Boot Hill that year. Last week, I would have told you their northern line where treatments were being made, not where necessarily people were finding them, but the treatments was about the Highway 8 corridor. Since then, there's been treatments north of there. I heard yesterday some treatments were going out as far north as Quitman County. So they roll north. Every few days, they seem to move. You hear more and more people finding them further north. I would expect, if we don't get a lot of cold weather, that Scott Stewart may find some in Tennessee this year, just like in 17.
It was cool this morning.
It was cool, 64.
So going back to your stink bugs and finding them north, are they finding them in what threshold? Y'all were talking about two different thresholds the other day, one for all bugs or one for just red bands.
They're finding red band thresholds of 4 per 25 sweeps.
Not that 9 you were talking about.
Yeah, that's our traditionals. And they're usually mixed together, but, yeah, 4 per 25 sweeps.
Well, I bring that up because I was just wondering if a red band can outfly Southern Green or something.
Well, they do seem to move a lot more. You know, there's a lot I think we don't know about some of that kind of biology, but they definitely seem to move a lot this time of year.
I like Jason's comment. Y'all need to start doing like Bronson and put a tracking collar on
tiny, tiny little tracking collars. You don't want to weight them down.
Oh, I guarantee you there's some out there that we could do.
I'll get right on that.
I think it's up your alley, Don. You were talking about gadgetry earlier.
Yeah. Gadgetry.
I don't know about
Don's got a tool for that.
A half inch hammer drill at a track and collar are two different things, Jason.
Well, if they could, there are ways you can do that. I mean, they had identified like micro satellites in plant bugs, and they were able to find those populations that moved 10, 12 miles, you know, from where they. I mean, where that particular marker was found.
There's potential to track them genetically if you can find the right genetic markers. But I'm not smart enough to do that kind of stuff.
I'm not either.
Tracking collars would be much cooler, though.
That sounded real smart what I said, but I assure you I don't understand it. I just repeated what I heard.
Like Jason. I want real time, pull up my phone and see that Leroy's over there in Cahoma County today. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Or Whitney, you can go catch a bunch here at Stoneville and put little paint dabs on their back, and then when consultants find them further north, if they got that little paint spot you put on them.
Now you're like redfish tags.
Well, that's what my mom does. She paints turtles, and she sent me a picture the other day. She had 10 turtles in her yard, and she paints the year on their back, and they follow her around when she comes outside. And everybody knows that's her turtles.
I don't think they're going to follow us around, though.
So the question is, if you do that, do you have a prize if you get one?
Well.
Like the CCA tournament down in on the coast, you know?
That would actually
get
to
tag
really
redfish. I've got that tag stink bug. Now he owes me $5,000.
We could start that as a competition. That would be unique.
You're finding them far north.
They're moving north, yeah. A lot more people are reporting them, yeah. And we're treating them in a lot of areas, yeah.
So what's the cutoff? I mean, when are they safe?
Well, and that's what we wanted to get into a lot today. And we mentioned this a week or two ago when we sat down. I guess it's worth reiterating. But some of this is a little foggy. So what we've been saying is when you get to the R65 growth stage, you can go to 10 per 25 and terminate at R7. But we got a lot of caveats right there. We feel
wait. Terminate
sprays.
What type of sprays?
Insect. You can quit spraying at R7
for stink bugs.
For red banded.
For red banded stink bugs.
Even though we've already sprayed paraquat at R6.5 to kill them.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to spray a brown soybean field with insecticide.
It has been done.
Yes, it has been.
Don and I visited a field in Lake Village in 17. That they quit harvesting.
Did you have out-of-state approval for that?
I don't know if we did or not. Lake Village is close, though, right? That's part of Mississippi almost. They kind of go back and forth. But, no, I mean, that can happen. But what we learned, though, and here's the big thing, and this is why this is a difficult decision. What we learned in 2017 was there were some areas of the state on some later planted beans where it did get very hot and dry. And if the beans were drying down normally and everything was good, we didn't have rain, that we did not see. We did a tremendous amount of cage work, and with much higher numbers than the 10 per 25, when we got to R7, we did not see pod damage. We shelled all these pods, not to say they couldn't feed on some, but we did not take the damage at that stage. Now, what changes, and this is why this is a difficult decision, if we start getting some showers in there and it softens those beans up, we know that they can still feed on them for a much longer time, and they will go to beans that don't have leaves on them as long as they're soft.
Well, let me ask you another thing. Are you putting the infestation out at R7, or has it been there and building? Does that make a difference?
Well, that infestation's already going to be there at R7, and it's not like you're going to have adults coming in as the leaves are shed, and the adults are going to be looking for something else. More likely, you had nymphs there that are still there from, you know, early R6.
There's a lot we don't know about this pest. I mean, we've learned a lot. Louisiana's learned a lot because they deal with it every year. But these stink bugs love beans that are getting to the R6 and beyond stage for whatever reason. I mean, they just
because
that's they
where they're
them.
The biggest and
the
and
biggest,
fullest
the happiest. Yeah, yeah. plenty to eat, but
got the most protein at that point.
That's right. But anyway, that's some of the stuff we wanted to get in a little deeper today about just some scenarios. I'm not going to say they're going to fit every situation, but environment, rain will play a huge part in making some of these decisions.
If you're hitting R7 and it's dry and the forecast looks good and you're going to cut them pretty quickly and you don't have a huge number above, say, 10 or whatever, you be fine. You should be fine letting them go. But if it looks like he's going to sit in the raining for a week, that's one of the situations that concerns us.
So let me throw this. This is the scenario, the questions that I've been getting a lot of lately. I'm sitting here at R65. Next week I plan on dropping a defoliant. I'm running a threshold right now. Do I go ahead and take this threshold level out? I'm not talking about 3, 4X threshold. I'm running threshold just above threshold. Or do I wait next week?
4 to 6.
Four to six. I'm running 4 to 6 right now. I'm roughly R65. I plan on dropping a desiccant next week. Can I wait till next week and put something in with my desiccant, or should I hit them now? And that's the question that I've been getting a lot lately.
I wish I could talk like that. I'm running 4 to 6. Nobody know what the hell I was talking about.
Well, I think our bug people, they got to understand.
4 to 6 red banded stink bug per 25 sweeps.
Was that hard to say?
Well, so
it's a mouthful.
For the non-bug people, me included, explain what the effect is if you have a desiccated soybean in a field full of red banded stink bugs. Because, I mean, to people that aren't accustomed to dealing with, it seems counterintuitive to burn all the leaves off of something and then, oh, hey, by the way, let's make an insecticide application.
It absolutely does.
So what is the damage?
Well, so that's like this bug can feed on seed much more mature than the traditional stink bug species we got. But what I was, like I was saying earlier, what we found out, as long as the weather's hot and dry and things are drying down normally, they don't seem to cause as much damage to the seed without the rainfall events to go with it.
The concern is seed quality.
Seed quality. Yes, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
That's my
seed quality.
So the rain, does it keep that, you know, being wet, it keeps the pod wall soft and they're able to penetrate that better?
That's what it seems from our experience, absolutely.
And especially from your trials back in 17, it seems like there's a pretty good interaction with certain disease organisms mm-hmm. when you get in that rainy period that allows them to get in there and kind of rot the seed more.
The bald entomologist is now turning the other way.
Do what now?
Well, we did have a student.
Went over Don's head, didn't it?
We had a student, Joshua Jones, years ago that did a lot of work with Phomopsis and entry avenues from where stink bugs have fed on seed, and it seems to be exasperated a lot with red-banded stink bug.
Okay, I mean that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get to talking about seed quality, which obviously has been a huge deal with these wet falls that we've had the past few years.
And I guess the whole point of this, it's tricky – because with the absence of, you know, high humidity, rainfall, or whatever, we don't seem to see those issues as much with red banded. So it makes these situations when you're trying to tell somebody. My thoughts would be, like the question I just posed that I've gotten several times lately, is if I'm sitting here at R65, I got a threshold now, can I wait to next week? My thoughts would be, let's take them out now. Hope we ain't got to deal with them.
Just to save a trip across the field.
Well, they want to save it, and that's what they're thinking is they want to save a trip across the field. And if things turn hot and dry, it's probably fine anyway. You know, everything's good. You ain't got to worry about it. But it's hard to – there's just no one good answer.
Well, the other thing you got to think about is you may be running threshold this week of, say, 4 to 5 per 25 sweeps. You may be at 20 next week.
That's right.
So just like we were 2 months ago, we're needing to be meteorologists.
Yeah, we need to be, but I don't think.
I think you're better than a meteorologist.
Meteorologist sometimes, it's hard. Yeah. And there's a lot to consider, though. I mean, the Louisiana folks have told us for years that they like the desiccant application. Now, they deal with this thing every year. They know they're going to have it next year because of their environment in the winter. That they look at it from the standpoint is I'm taking large populations out that won't go into overwintering. So there's probably some merit to that also.
Yeah. So they're coming from a different standpoint than you are.
Yeah, I mean, they're also considering the seed quality, the whole thing. But as we move into that question about the desiccant or even any of these late season applications, one of the biggest things that comes up, and Whitney, you can hit on this, is pre-harvest intervals for the products that we're recommending.
So if we're talking about utilizing a desiccant and an insecticide, when we talk about using Paraquat, AIM, or Sharpen, there's no concerns with mixing any of our insecticides commonly recommended for red banded. I think the issue we run into is with sodium chlorate. So I think it's a common practice to use Paraquat and sodium chlorate. And while Paraquat has a 15-day pre-harvest interval, there are some concerns around mixing insecticides and organic materials, specifically organophosphates, with sodium chlorate because it potentially causes fire or explosion. So that would eliminate the use of acephate, which has the shortest pre-harvest interval. So if you were going to utilize sodium chlorate, you would then ultimately need to use a pyrethroid or a neonic, which would put your pre-harvest interval anywhere from 18 to 30 days, depending on the insecticide of choice. So ultimately, if you want that shorter pre-harvest interval, you're better off going with just Paraquat or one of the other herbicides and not utilizing sodium chlorate, simply due to that you cannot use acephate.
We just need to keep the acephate away from rice.
And the Paraquat.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Chlorate's fine. If we just spray chlorate, we'd be okay in the world.
Well, and it is important. Another thing to mention, too, is we do have a 24C in place for the increased acephate, so we're allowed up to 2 pounds now.
That's that doesn't make it worse again.
Well, look now, these red bands are tough now. We got to deal with them. We learned that lesson.
So do we have a consensus on how to manage these stink bugs late in the season like we are, Don?
I would think we do. I mean, our threshold was 4 per 25 sweeps till we hit our 6.5. You double it at our 6.5 to 10. If we have good weather and you're going to be able to harvest timely, you can let them go at our 7. But keep in mind, if you have huge numbers and or bad, you know, potential rainy periods coming, that you probably need to do something in that R6.5 to R7 period.
There's always a but.
Always a but.
Always a but. And I mean, I think you really summarized that good. And the one thing that somebody brought to my attention the other day that I have not even thought of is we're really just getting into corn harvest, and they're worrying now that the attention is going to be turned to that, and we're going to let the beans sit there for a while. So that's something that I'm a little concerned about, because as they sit there, they just start congregating in them. But we'll cross that road, I guess, when we get there.
Yep.
So what other late-season pests we need to mention, Angus? You had brought up a couple earlier before we hit record.
You know, this is not a huge problem for everybody, but everybody deals with it. I just wanted to mention it. We haven't talked about it all year, but I've had several calls in the last couple of weeks just about kudzu bugs. And, you know, kudzu bugs don't scare me a lot because they're not a catastrophic pest. In other words, when you see yield loss, it's not some catastrophic level. You know, if it's any at all, it's just usually a couple bushels or so, at least in our environment. But and I'm not saying I would never treat them, and it don't occur everywhere. But where it happens, people are concerned about it because they can really see them and they're visible. But one thing to keep in mind, and it's showing up, I had some pictures sent to me yesterday, they get a fungus, Bavaria bassiana. They'll turn white and fuzzy, and they'll be all over the ground, and it'll take them out. And that's starting to show up in places. My point is, watch for the fungus. You know, keep an eye on that. If you see that, hey, you're in good shape. Let it take its course. The other thing is, don't waste a spray on something. Like if you're sitting there at R5.5 and you got some kudzu bugs,
I'd piggyback with a stink bug spray, yeah, if I had to.
Give it another check, because it's not, again, they're not super destructive. So if you can give it a little bit, put some stink bugs with it. You know, you don't want to spray kudzu bugs, then next week spray red bandits and then have another red bandit shot coming.
So what's the treatment of choice on kudzu bugs?
They're super sensitive to bifenthrin. I mean, the pyrethroids in general are pretty good on them. They're very more sensitive probably to bifenthrin than all of them. Acephate is so-so. I mean, it'll control them, knock them back, you know, probably 80% control, but it's not as good as you would think on kudzu bugs. But the pyrethroid.
With bifenthrin, we kind of fall into that same time frame on pre-harvest intervals. I mean, being late like this, we're still good on.
Yeah, so the bifenthrin's what, Whitney? How many days? It's 18 on bifenthrin?
Yeah, 18-day pre-harvest interval.
Yeah, now you got to also keep in mind that you can only put bifenthrin out every 30 days by label. So you don't want to find yourself making a kudzu bug spray, you know, on R55 beans, and next week you need to spray bifenthrin acephate, and then you can't do it because you applied it on kudzu bugs. So just keep that in mind.
All right, anything else y'all want to mention insect-wise?
There's some loopers here, there, and yonder. Well, they're pretty wide.
Here, yonder.
They're pretty widespread. I have not
can
heard.
Can you be more specific?
There's loopers in most fields. I have not seen huge numbers in any field. I know there's some being treated, but just, you know, huge numbers that, you know, going to do a lot of defoliation. I have not heard of any of those yet. It seems like most of these fields that I've seen, they're kind of simmering at a low to medium level. They haven't exploded. And, you know, with these cooler temperatures that we're experiencing right now, we may take some out with some of the disease, or we may not. It just kind of have to wait and see on that.
All right, Miss Whitney, you got anything parting shot wise?
No, I think we covered everything at this point, moving it to the end of the season.
All right. Y'all counting bugs today?
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
In fact, I'm not counting bugs today.
Nor do I ever count bugs.
So we're either counting them or taking pictures of them, one of the two.
Y'all enjoy your bug counting day. All right, folks, we're going to jump off. So we appreciate your time, and if we can do anything for you, just give us a call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.